Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yes, it is. Filling in for Mark Ryan again. I'm Derek Fogle. Great to be with you. You want to chime in? It is Offsides. We are interactive. Please do. 71307 if you want to text. Start that text with ESPN. You can, of course, call 844-477-3776. You're looking for me on Twitter at Fogle said what, F-O-G-E-L said what. Had a lot of fun yesterday. Found a token Bills fan that I didn't know existed in the Carolinas. That was fun. I'm probably going to dump on Buffalo a little bit more today. I enjoyed it. They seemed to enjoy it on Twitter. They told me I suck. I totally agree. Before I get into anything else, I want to weigh in on this. Lonzo, crush and lust do not rhyme, but the way that you're saying them does, in fact, make them rhyme. And have you ever seen the 60 Minutes with Eminem that happened like 10 years ago, Lonzo? Have you ever seen that?
I've seen bits and pieces of that.
Yes. Yeah, okay. That's exactly what you did. He says, nothing rhymes with orange. And then he goes, it just matters how you say it. And he starts doing this like, orange, you pouring a drink. And he starts making everything rhyme with orange. You're basically Eminem, Lonzo.
Well, I am from the mean streets of Columbus, Ohio, you know, the South Side, the poor side. So we have a lot in common, Eminem and I.
Oh, so much in common. Lonzo, Eminem, just same. I totally get it. But definitely pull that out on Mark. Find that 60 Minutes Eminem interview and how he makes everything rhyme with orange, and he just drives himself insane making words that don't rhyme rhyme with things. So crush and lust, that can rhyme if you're a rapper. So you're just a rapper, and Mark is not. He's a teacher, like he said. So I don't know. I think that settles it. Lonzo's a rapper. Mark is not. Let's circle on over to this. It broke while we were on the air yesterday, Ron Rivera being fired, and a lot of things have come of it now, and it's really amazing, actually, how many really cool stories there are about Ron Rivera. You really don't see this very often when a coach is fired, especially in the NFL. It tends to happen a little bit more in college. You have more of a relationship with players because you're growing them as men, and they're young, and you can influence them. But in an NFL locker room, when guys are solely motivated by a paycheck, it changes things a lot. And even just an NFL locker room is very different than a college locker room. And the stories that come of Ron Rivera are awesome, from what he has in his office, being dog tags and badges of first responders, and even just pictures and the things that he cared about and the way that he impacted his players. How when reporters were talking to players yesterday about him leaving, no one had anything to say about his football decisions or his coaching ability. It was all about him as the guy, which is very telling for two reasons. Number one, he's that awesome of a guy, which Lonzo, you had said, which Mark Ryan has said, and I bought it as well. There's really no reason not to, especially given the things that come out. But reason number two why that's very telling is because if they didn't have anything to say about his football decisions, then they must not have been that good and influential. And is that a stab? A little bit. But the reality is, when I think of coaches that impacted my playing career, some of them, or a lot of them, I can say, yeah, you know what, really good dude. But also, that's attached with, man, he had some incredible ways to think about baseball. Or he taught me this about baseball. Or I learned this from him. The fact that that's just the life moments that are influencing his players is great. There's nothing wrong with that. But the fact that football wasn't more tied to their memory of Ron Rivera also says something, right? They're playing for their coach because they love him. Awesome. They're also not getting the best football decisions made, and that shows. His defense of his mediocrity, Ron Rivera's defense was, well, you know what? We went to a Super Bowl and we won 3-4 division titles. That's great. There was a lot of peaks and valleys. I think everybody wants a little more of a smooth ride, right? There's a lot of inconsistencies that don't necessarily meet when it comes to being a good coach, or I should say being a great coach. Ron Rivera is a good coach. He'll find opportunities. He'll land on his feet. Even the story about how after the Super Bowl, he went up to his hotel room alone, collapsed on the floor, and bawled. That tells you the personal aspect that we don't see a lot. You think that they might just say, oh, well, I've got $1 million, I've got millions of dollars, whatever, and they roll it off their back. Now, it means a lot. So you know what? Ron Rivera helps with the perspective sometimes that we lack in the rest of professional sports. And the other thing that came of this was, of course, David Tepper's transparency, having a 6-7 minute interview about his decision to let go of Ron Rivera, a very difficult one, and also incredibly admirable. Can we say that it's incredibly admirable, the fact that he was willing to come forward and say that? Nobody does that nowadays. Everybody makes a decision and likes to hide behind it, just says, ah, you know what? Social media will say whatever. People will say whatever. I don't care. I'm not going to get out in front of it. No, he got out in front of it, did the very personable thing to do as a new owner should probably do, and said, here's what happened. And he acknowledged a very hard decision, but also listened to one of the other things that he said, the way he had plenty of respect for Ron Rivera, but the fact that he wanted to do it before the season ended because he wanted to gain an advantage to find a new coach. And also, I think change was appropriate to build things the way I want things to be built. I'll talk about that in just a second. But also he said, if I need to talk to people, I want to talk to them, and I want to talk to them in a straightforward and honest way. He didn't want to go behind anybody's back. He already knew that he wanted to get rid of Rivera. He didn't want to have to contact anybody's teams. He didn't want to have to do something like what the Texans did in trying to contact the Patriots player personnel guy, Nick Caserio. There's his name. He didn't want to have to do that. Didn't want to go behind anybody's back. He's straightforward. He says it himself that that's what he wanted to do. That's fantastic. So while it sucks that you feel like, and I'm with you, if you feel like, well, Ron Rivera, given everything that we've learned and things that we already knew, he deserved and earned the right to finish the season. I would feel that way as well. I would tend to agree until I realize he does. He's a businessman. He wants the competitive advantage, and he also doesn't want to go behind anybody's back. The business decision and the emotional decision tied into one, great choice. All right, it was inevitable. It probably needed to happen. Doesn't matter the timing at this point anymore, but it was poise from David Tepper that I don't think has been acknowledged, because we're kind of in this wave of emotion in letting go of Ron Rivera. But I think that we should relook at what Tepper said in this. I'll reiterate. I think a change was appropriate to build things the way I want things to be built. That scares me a little bit. And here's why. He also said that you can't get any apples without shaking the tree. And to me, that sounds like more changes are coming. You can't get any apples without shaking the tree. All right, fine. An owner wants to leave his mark on the franchise, fix some things that needed to be run. And he did so on the business side. Great. They made what he called vast and sweeping changes. And he didn't want to do that too irrationally on the football side. He wanted to take the time, have the patience. He all said that, he said all this himself. And that's great, except to me this feels like a little bit Tillman Fertitta-ish. Right? Let me say it again. Per David Tepper, I think a change was appropriate to build things the way I want things to be built. Tillman Fertitta said about buying the Houston Rockets, I want things to be more Tillman-esque. He said that he wanted to feel his impact on the team. He wanted to feel like the team was more Fertitta than it had been before. And what has happened to the Rockets? Well, in the offseason, they had this ugly situation between maybe firing Daryl Morey, their general manager, and he's had some incredibly awkward encounters with the media because he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. And then, you know, I know he's an NBA owner, and then you could draw this right to Mark Cuban. And these NBA owners, at least two of them, look pretty wild. And, okay, fine. You want to say, well, that's the NBA. The NFL is different. All right, Robert Kraft, that's a weird story. But I don't want to go there, but look at Jerry Jones. Oh, boy. There is a lot to unpack there. Jerry Jones wanting to leave his mark on the team and not being able to let go of it, being just the GM and the owner. He can't even hire a GM. He has people to assist him, but he still thinks he knows better. I'm not saying David Tepper is claiming to be the deity of football and he's going to come in and make sweeping changes because he knows football. He's not saying that. But sometimes when businessmen come in and feel like they can make an incredibly personal industry in understanding players and locker rooms and a very intricate game, sometimes it can get ugly. And so I do have a little bit of a fear of David Tepper wanting to build things the way he wants them to be built in something that he doesn't really know. Right? He's an incredible businessman. He's worth what, like $12 billion, $11 billion? Clearly has made a lot of great decisions, but that's in regards to business. The media industry, football, baseball, all sports industries are not something that you can, well, we're going to change our business model to this and that and, you know, A plus B and then this graph will go that way and it'll all be good. They're too personal. Sports are too personable. Media is too personal. It's not something that you can make the changes and have your hands off. It's not like you're buying a Jimmy John's franchise. That's not what this is. So I do have a little concern with just some of the words that he's used. And that's, I understand where they're coming from. They seemingly are coming from a good place. He wants winning football. He's not saying anything wrong, but I'm saying from what we've learned from other owners is that sometimes when they try to make it too much about them, when they're not really directly involved and they try to be, things can go south. And it's really easy to look at the Cowboys and paint this picture, especially with the way things have gone and the way that players are just demanding money. They know they can kind of push them around. Oh, my gosh. 71307, start your text with ESPN. Texas said, who is going to replace Rivera and produce anything better than what he's done the past two seasons? Without Cam, what was he supposed to do? Well, that's a kind of a tough question because I talked a little bit about it yesterday. Mobile quarterbacks have a very small three-year window is usually about what it is. League defenses figure it out. You have to be a good passer. What happened to Cam? He wasn't making the easy passes. So who's going to replace him? There is a list of seven candidates that, well, of course, haven't been verified. This is just sort of a national perspective on who could possibly go out and get him. And I can tell you the list, but I don't know that it really matters because David Tepper already said he really wanted a young, analytically driven coach. And of this seven-man list that has sort of circled the web, only a few of them are really that guy. Of course, Josh McDaniels comes up. Of course, Jay Gruden comes up. But then there's also Nick Sirianni. He's 38 years old, the OC for the Colts. That seems to be a more realistic name that fits the idea of what Tepper wants. So I don't really know if we want to get into who the replacement is going to be or if they could produce anything better. It's really more about changing the message. Ron Rivera is really old school. He had some things analytically, but he wasn't really willing to be progressive enough for David Tepper. At least that's the impression that I got from everything that he said. And he was very transparent. Thank you for that, David Tepper. I don't think we can thank you for that enough. We will discuss more of Ron Rivera and David Tepper and the Panthers and what's going on there. All the possibilities later on in the show, but coming up next, we got to talk college football playoff again. The rankings came out, and some people are pleading for a team to make it. And I really got to tell you, you're wrong if you want this team to make it. Derek Fogle filling in for Mark Ryan. You are Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little Or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yes, it is. Filling in, I'm Derek Fogle. Great to be with you. So a listener from yesterday who tweeted at me yesterday has again found me. At Fogle said what, F-O-G-E-L said what. Aaron on Twitter is seemingly a Bills fan and says, awesome, we get to listen to Tom Brady's lover again. Hey, Bills are going to beat the Ravens this week, buddy. Watch and see, Fogle. I'm Tom Brady's lover. Big if true. I'll check my sources, and the Bills are going to beat the Ravens this week, buddy. Okay. All right. I'll be watching. I'll enjoy it. That's actually, that game has a lot of ramifications. We're getting late in the season, and nobody's paying attention to Buffalo, because I mentioned it yesterday. Nobody ever says, like, hey, this weekend, you want to go to Buffalo? Yeah, we don't say that. Nobody says that. It's kind of like, hey, we should move to Oakland. I don't think anybody ever says that. It's just things you don't say, Aaron, but I love it. Thanks for tweeting in. You want to text in 71307. Start that text with ESPN. Of course, you can call if you'd like to air it out. 844-477-3776. All right. I think we have to understand what some of our sports talking heads are. And the reason why I say that is because there's reporters and there's entertainers, right? There's journalists and there's talking heads. And sometimes I think the lines cross and we mix the two. It's kind of like when Stephen A. Smith will go on First Take and, you know, he'll scream that someone's on crack or to stay off the weed, whatever. It's fun. That's his brand, right? It's loud. It's entertaining. It doesn't necessarily have a lot of facts tied to it, but that's why you're watching. It's just to be entertained. And then the next day, he'll kind of just, you know, throw something in there like, oh, well, I have a source that said this about this NBA player going here, an NFL player saying this, going, wanting to be traded here. And you're like, well, is this true? It's difficult because in this industry, you tend to start as a reporter and as a journalist because you're reporting facts. You're getting acquainted with a locker room. You're understanding how things work, how teams talk to the media. And then you usually, if you don't stay a reporter or journalist, you find your way behind a mic like myself or like Mark. That's just kind of how the industry works. So we have trouble distinguishing who is who. Well, Paul Feinbaum, I think we can most certainly say at this point in his career, is an entertainer. Okay, let's just start that off by saying that. So he's like me, right? He's going to air it out that he doesn't want Utah to be in the college football playoff. And I would have to agree with him. This isn't coming from fact. This is just him having an opinion that I think a lot of us should agree with, which it got some kickback, which I found very interesting. Why would you want to see the University of Utah in the college football playoff? I really don't understand this. The idea is, okay, well, at least the one that I'm hearing most of, we want to see new teams. Okay, that's great, except you love having a villain. Okay, you want teams that you know something about. You like the familiarity in college football because there are a million teams. Like, let's look at just the top eight, we'll say, because everyone wants to expand the playoff to eight. Let's just do that for just namesake. It's easy. Of course, I'll just run it down for you real quick. 1 through 8, Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, Georgia, Utah, Oklahoma, Baylor, Wisconsin. Of those eight teams, who do you know the least about? Utah. Do you know anything about the Pac-12? Carolina, answer honestly. No, you don't. We've established this. Pac-12 games, whether it's basketball or football, you are not watching unless you're six deep on a Saturday night and you just happen to have the game on in the background at your buddy's house, or when you're crashing, finally going to bed, or you're at the bar and you're really not paying attention, but it's on in the background and it's football. That is the extent that you know the Pac-12. If anyone on the East Coast wants to claim they want University of Utah, they're lying to you. You don't want to see this new team that you know nothing about. This is kind of like a couple years ago when Jacksonville was trying to beat the Patriots, and everyone's saying, oh, well, number one, a lot of people are tired of the Patriots, and I understand that. But there's like, wow, we want to see a new team in the Super Bowl. Well, that's not entirely true. We love having the villain, but also you're going to watch anyway. I don't know that that's the case with college football. With there being so many teams, there is a lot of parity, but putting a team in there that you don't know what kind of parity would create, and a lot of people are saying the four seed anyway is going to get spanked. Do you really need to see Utah get spanked? I don't even want to see Oklahoma get spanked. They do it every year. They get in. All right, the Big 12 hasn't conditioned us enough. They get blasted. We'll see ya. Of the top eight, I would rather see Baylor. It's a great story. They barely got one snaked out by Oklahoma. That's their one loss. It's a good loss. It's supposed to mean something to the college football committee, but it doesn't. Or at least it does sometimes. God, that's frustrating. And then Wisconsin up there. I'm sorry, I don't think Wisconsin there. If you want to do the whole contender pretender thing, I'd say that's a pretender. But the bottom line is, sorry, no, you don't want to see the University of Utah. Stop pretending like you want a new team in there. You want something that you want to watch. Just because it's new doesn't mean you're going to want to watch it. Right? There are new shows that come out all the time. They suck. What do you think that Utah is? They're not proven. They lost to USC, who was ranked 23rd at the time in week 5. Who else have they beaten? I mean, this is the argument against Clemson, too. Except they're far more talented. Do you think University of Utah? Okay, all right, let's stack this up. Do you think University of Utah has more talent than Clemson? Because they have really similar schedules. Pac-12 isn't doing anything. ACC isn't doing anything. They both happen to find themselves in eras where their respective divisions are down. USC is not as good as they could be. UCLA is trying to rebound. Oregon, you're getting a little something from, but you haven't really since the Chip Kelly days, since the Mariota days. ACC, you already know it. Miami, Florida State, what are you doing? Do you really think that Utah is as capable as Clemson? Wake up. Come on. Like, I understand the sentiment. We want new, but this is not a case where you want new. I promise. Paul Feinbaum is actually onto something here. He's not really onto something when he says that Clemson's best test this season is going to be at South Carolina for a rivalry week game. That was not his best take. But the University of Utah not making it into the college football playoff, that is respectable. I agree with you, sir. There's not always going to be times where we do it. I know it. We want to blast those guys whenever we can, but I think he was onto something. And then even, you know, Dabo had a great thing to say about it. You say about Paul Feinbaum's criticism and everything else about, of course, Dabo himself, but he was talking about Clemson and the whole situation. And just great, great words from Dabo Swinney. Don't worry about criticism from someone you wouldn't take advice from. I don't know who needed to hear that. I feel like I did. I feel like that was something, I don't know if I've never heard that before, if I just hadn't heard it in a while, but that resonated really nicely with me. I really enjoyed that. He knows how to compartmentalize when, you know, someone's just going off as an entertainer and we forget to embrace that as is. But then the other conversation that I have about this college football playoff is, okay, well, back to this new team idea. Are people sick of Clemson? I would argue no. Not this year. I think that people get sick of them, sure. Are they winning a lot? Yeah, you want to see new competitors. But at the end of the day, they're not Nick Saban, and people love that. And also, no one really paid attention to Clemson this year because of the weak schedule.
See, I disagree with you a little bit, and it's not because I don't like Clemson, because I don't like Clemson, but it really comes down to the fact that people want to see two new teams playing for the championship. They don't want to
really?
See a repeat.
See,
yeah.
I think that also comes from just your frustration with Clemson fans. I guess I think from just being where I'm at, I've had to do a lot of traveling thanks to some weddings, and of course I talk sports with people when you're at these weddings with other guys, and they're talking about, you know, it's Clemson. Like, I feel like this is a wake-up call to Carolina for this. Like, Clemson, when people talk about it, it's not like they go, oh, man, yeah, the Tigers are, oh, man, I'm tired of seeing them in the playoff. The reaction that I got a majority of the time was, oh, yeah, Clemson, they're still really good, aren't they? And then Travis Etienne, he's the ACC player of the year. But nobody else in the country is paying attention to that because the ACC isn't resonating anywhere else but in the area. So that's my only problem.
Yeah, but
Lonzo.
See, you're talking about Travis Etienne, and he's a great player and everything. But can you name a lot of great players in the ACC?
No.
See, that's the point. I mean, good for him, and he deserves the honor. But the ACC is down so much, you can't really name anybody on any other team.
Exactly. That's why I don't feel like anyone's really that upset with seeing Clemson in the college football playoff again, because no one's paying attention to him.
By the way, I don't have a problem with Clemson being in the playoff. They're undefeated. They've been undefeated for two seasons. They deserve to be there, and they can only play who's put in front of them. All I'm saying is I want to see somebody else playing for the national championship. It just would be more interesting, and it tells casual fans, hey, there are more teams out there other than just these two, just Clemson and Alabama. And now we don't have to worry about Alabama.
Yeah, you know, a college football playoff without Alabama, I think, is already a lot better for some people. And that sounds harsh to Alabama. And there is an Alabama fan, I forget his name, that was calling in. I appreciate him listening. He always has a fun phone call when he calls in, saying how Alabama just didn't deserve it this year. But the funny thing is, for how tired everyone is of the Crimson Tide and Nick Saban, the fact that they fell to number 12 and the outrage that came of it was actually kind of interesting, because people didn't feel like they should have slid that far. And just the fact that people felt like it warranted a reaction shows you that the respect for Nick Saban and Alabama just is still there. It has created so many ripples. The college football playoff ranking every week shows us something a little bit different and new. And the conversation, of course, who have they played? I love when that comes out. But I also like the reaction of when a big team falls, how far they slide compared to, say, University of Michigan, who drops, what, like one or two spots, and they got just boat raced at home by Ohio State? Like, what is the committee doing? That it always looks bad on them, but the reaction to it also, other than the fact that people feel like the committee is bad, it just shows you the perspective that there is about teams nationally. It's all fun and games until we get down to it here in the final week, and we'll see who lands. And I'm telling you, keep Utah out. Paul Feinbaum is right. As much as you don't want to admit it, he's right. And the best way I think that this happens, other than rooting for Oregon in their entirety, which the Pac-12 championship will be aired right here on ESPN Upstate, aside from just rooting for Oregon to knock Utah down, I think you need Georgia to upset LSU. They would just switch places. Nobody in their right mind would drop LSU out of the top four. It would probably just put Georgia at 3, Clemson 2, LSU drops to 4. That's a great college football playoff. I'm here for it. It keeps Utah and Oklahoma out, who I don't need to see. Don't need to see Oklahoma blow it a third time. Don't need to see University of Utah, who we know nothing about. That is where I'm at for the college football playoff, and I'm willing to tip my cap to Paul Feinbaum, which is hard for some. I get it. If you're mad at me, you can tell me. 713-0710. Start that text with ESPN. You can call 844-477-3776. All right. I see you holding there, Donovan. Stay with me. Wanted to talk about the ACC and what's going on. We will get to that. Also, Tua came out and talked about his decision. What would you do? I think it's a really tough choice. We'll weigh the odds ourselves. We'll put our Tua hat on. Derek Fogle filling in for Mark Ryan. You are Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Filling in for Mark, I'm Derek Fogle. Great to be with you. We were talking college football playoff. I say University of Utah needs to stay out. Texter says he'd like it. They're like a Cinderella. Everyone gets a chance. You know, I'm just not there, man. I don't need to see them get blown out. I'm really not there for it. And we will go to the phone line now. If you'd like to chime in, feel free. 844-477-3776. We will go to Donovan wanting to talk ACC. What's going on?
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I know there's a lot of talk about the ACC not being a great conference, and that's understandable right now, but I would like to know what you think about the future of the ACC, because they've got some teams that have really made some great moves. Wake Forest has moved up a lot. North Carolina, I don't think, lost a game by more than a touchdown with a great young quarterback and Mack Brown as a coach. That, you know, do you see this conference getting a lot stronger in the next handful of years? And I can take comments off the air.
All right, Donovan, thanks for the call. It's, you know what? It's a good question, you know, whether or not they're going to be able to step forward, because they really need it, right? Because it just boosts Clemson when you have a conference that has strength, right? No one's ever going to possibly live up to that SEC swagger that they've developed over a course of time. So it'll come and go, right? Conferences kind of are in flux. If you think 10 years ago, it was the Big 12, and then they've kind of fallen off. It was the Big 12 and SEC. Now it's more so the Big 10 and SEC. Even the Pac-12 was sprinkled in there. The ACC can bounce back, man. Louisville, they're not that far removed either. You mentioned Wake Forest, but staying in the Atlantic Division, Louisville's not far off. Florida State, well, they're far off. Boston College always has a moment. Syracuse has kind of pretended to get in there. Virginia Tech, I've never been sold on. I don't know how they managed to find their way into the top 25 routinely to find themselves right back out of it. But even Mack Brown, yeah, at North Carolina, Miami, they need to rebound really badly. Duke has had its moments, even though it's a basketball school. There's real reason to believe that they can rebound. And I think that's the biggest thing to remember. If you're a Clemson fan, if you're an ACC fan, it's cyclical, right? These conferences bounce back, and it takes time. I don't know why it necessarily took such a hard turn the way that Florida State plummeted, right? But I don't think we hang that up around Willie Taggart's neck. That's not fair. Syracuse has kind of risen. Teams rise and fall with their coaches, with their recruiting classes, and also they do it together because recruits want to go where? To the best competition.
Yeah, so, but if Clemson wasn't in the ACC, would the ACC be talked about at all?
Absolutely not.
Because Clemson is so much better than any other team in the ACC, except for maybe North Carolina this year, that it makes the rest of them look so much worse.
Yeah, No, they almost right now, if Clemson was not in that conference, you could make the argument that the American Athletic Conference is stronger. No joke. Memphis is 7-1. Navy's, 11-1. Navy is, I think they might have 10 wins. SMU has 10 wins. Cincinnati has 10 wins. UCF, I think they have 9. Like, you could very easily make the argument that the American Athletic Conference is better than the ACC right now. That's very easy to say. So, yeah, Alonzo, I think that answers it pretty easily. Let's head back to the phone line, shall we? Delvin wants to get it in again about the ACC. Glad to have you on again, Delvin. What's going on?
Yeah, I heard you talking about the record, but you can look at some of the things that the ACC has done against lately. I guess some of the teams from the SEC beat some of the teams in postseason and stuff like that as well. You got to look at that too as well. Don't just worry about the regular season. Look at postseason. That says some of these ACC teams have had against other schools in the big conferences like the Big 12, Big 10, and the SEC in postseason as well.
You know, Delvin, that's a good point. Thanks for the call. You have a lot of bowl-eligible ACC teams, and I think that's why I also love bowl season, not just because you have the random teams playing in weird cities and odd sponsors attached to them. That's all well and good and fun and part of the college game. But you're right. This is the moment of who did you beat? What's the better conference? I love when that comes out. And then you see if you're really going to play up to the strength against, say, an SEC team or a Big 12 team. And if you're Clemson, you're a Clemson fan, you want Louisville, you want Wake Forest, you want Florida State, even though they're awful and somehow found their way to bowl eligibility. You want them to have success. It is good for your conference. It is good for you. You need your division rivals to lift you up purely by being good. Even if you're crushing them, they still can lift you up with your own record. That's always what we talk about. Who have you played? So, yeah, that's a good point. Postseason, it's going to be a big one. It's going to be an important one if you're the ACC. It means a lot more to you than it does, say, the American Athletic Conference, because even though they have good records, at the end of the day, those are small schools, right? Nobody's really that worried about a UCF making the playoff, even though they claim themselves national champions, right? We know the reality there that the ACC should be stronger. So we'll see it all play out. I love bowl season. It'll be good to see how it all pans out. And I guess, you know what, Lonzo, we're going to go back to the phone line again. Sandy wants to weigh in. What do you got?
Hello, how are you?
Great. How's it going?
It's going okay. I was calling. I was listening, and heard you talking about the ACC when you were a competitive conference, but Clemson being the only team that's truly competitive in the conference. And I think y'all are looking at it the wrong way. You need to look at Dabo. It's the Dabo school. It's Dabo as a coach that brought this team. It's not the ACC. You're not giving Dabo the credit that he has built this program.
Well, sure. I don't think anyone's taking away the credit from Dabo, but the other schools are not helping to lift them up. The biggest complaint about the ACC or about Clemson is they haven't played anyone in their conference because everybody else is bad. I don't think that's a knock on Dabo Swinney.
Oh, I don't think it's a knock on Dabo at all. It's just that you're not going to compete against him. He's just that good of a coach. He's the Bear Bryant, the Nick Saban. He's that next generation. He's that coach. He really is. And he really is the person that everybody says he is. My son played for him. My son was hurt when he played for him, and I had him shake our hands and tell us nothing has changed. He's here.
Sandy, so that is a really awesome story to connect with for the audience. Thank you so much for calling in. That's awesome. Wow. So we have a Clemson player's mother call in and defend the ACC. Where else can you get that? Not going to hear that on the Paul Feinbaum show. That's great. And you know what? I don't think she has anything wrong by saying that Dabo looks like the Bear Bryant of the world right now, but there's some things that he hasn't, that Dabo Swinney hasn't quite faced yet. He hasn't tried to rebuild his own coaching staff as they leave for other positions, right? He hasn't had that moment where his own coaches are really being swamped to take other spots. Now, it could happen this offseason. We definitely know that it can. And that's something that Nick Saban has really been able to do. And that's something that other coaches have really, Pete Carroll was able to do that. That's a difficult piece of college football, is replacing the guys that make a name for themselves. So I won't go too far into putting Dabo with the likes of Bear Bryant just yet, or the Nick Sabans just yet. He still has a little bit to prove, but he's certainly on the right track. And that's not a knock at Clemson. It's not a knock at Clemson by saying your conference is bad, because you should be rooting for your own conference, as I've outlined before. What makes you better? Your competition. That's in business, that's in sports, that's in life. Like, what motivates you? It's that chip on your shoulder in a way. And so, bowl season, yeah. If you're a Clemson Tiger fan, if you're Sandy, you need to be rooting for your counterparts in your division. It's really pretty simple that way. I know it seems odd because you don't want to root for rival teams, but the reality is you need them just as much as they need you. So, you know, I wanted to get to, in this segment, I wanted to talk a little bit more about Tua and his interview, but we can get to that next segment. I do want to go back to the phone lines because Stevie has something to say about Dabo Swinney. What's going on?
Hey, yeah, so I think that the Dabo Swinney complaints the past week and really all season are kind of exhausting and annoying. And I think it's just like most Clemson fans too, that I look at Clemson sort of like the Patriots right now, in that, like, the Patriots are the best team in the NFL, there's no question, over the past 10 or 20 years. But they're also in a division that is dysfunctional with the Jets and the Dolphins and the Bills. And so they can both be the best team in the NFL and have a very easy road every single year because they have no competition in their direct path. I think it's the same exact thing with Clemson, and I just wish Dabo Swinney and Clemson fans would admit that.
That's an interesting idea, Stevie. I think there's too many differences between the NFL and college football in the way that we have every week as a season in college football, right? And your wins, your strength of schedule matters more to make it to the playoff. I think I like the comparison, but I'm not sure that I would compare them directly. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I don't think it's one for one. But, you know, there's another stat I heard the other day, and I don't have the numbers exactly right here. But bear with me, because I think it speaks to a bigger point. Those years when UCF was going undefeated, everybody was saying, well, they shouldn't go in, they're not from a Power 5 conference. Their strength of schedule that year was somewhere around like 70. That's not very different than Clemson's strength of schedule being 65 right now. So I think that kind of speaks to the point again, is they are in a spot where the path is clear. If you go undefeated in Power 5, they are letting you in. And so it sort of is an automatic qualifier in that sense. They don't call it that, but it is, because if we were keeping the same standard that we had for UCF as we are for Clemson, then there'd be more of a discussion of keeping them out.
You know, that's a good conversation, Stevie. I appreciate the call. I do want to get to one more phone call before we hit the break and before we talk a little Tua, because I think his decision is so incredibly hard. You know, people are wanting to weigh in on the ACC and Dabo here, but God, what would you do if you were Tua? But first, let's go to Neil wanting to talk ACC. What's going on, Neil?
What's up, man? Good job as always. Two things. First of all, bowl games are not representative of how good a conference is. How they play in the first three or four games before they get into their conference games is how you can kind of judge how a conference really plays. A lot of these teams don't want to be in these bowl games. They don't play up to them. Second thing is, I don't understand why Clemson fans, I hear all this nonsense about 11-1 the last 12 games against the SEC. Why can't they understand? I know it's an agriculture school and they teach farming down there, but are they not smart enough to realize playing in the SEC schedule is not the same thing as playing two SEC teams a year and going 11-1? When you have to go to LSU, to Alabama, to Auburn, back in the day when the East was actually good. Now Georgia's still good. Florida's back up. It's not the same thing, because you get beat down every single week. Yes, they're 11-1 in the last 12 against the SEC. That's not the same thing as if they played 12 straight SEC teams. I don't think they understand that. I'm not saying Clemson doesn't deserve what they've gotten, two championships, maybe a third this year. the point is they're not dominating the SEC like all these Clemson fans want to say. Play in a real conference, go 11-1 out of a 12-game stretch at that point, and then you can say you're dominating a conference. Otherwise, it's not dominating anything. It's like when Boise State or even the previous caller, which was an awesome caller, UCF, they didn't deserve to be there because they hadn't beaten anybody. Yeah, Clemson deserves to be there because they've shown their dominance and how good they can be. And we already know how good they can be because of what they've done against Alabama, what they've done winning two out of the last three. But at the end of the day, they still, in the ACC conference, it's all cupcake conference for a reason. There is no real contenders. When you start talking about Florida State having all those five stars and that's your biggest contender, it's a joke.
Neil, great heat. We'll discuss more. Derek Fogle filling in offsides, ESPN Upstate.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Took a lot of callers last segment just from saying the ACC is bad. Clemson fans upset. Michael on Twitter says they need the rings to cover up all their thin skin. What have I done? Coming up next, we'll tell you about the MLB offseason, who the Braves just got, and the drunkest NFL fans. Derek Fogle filling in. Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.